As far as today, we are starting Acts chapter 3, the first 10 verses. It says this: One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. A man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Thank you, Jennifer. All right, we have the privilege this morning of being able to have George with us. George was up here a little bit a while ago introducing some of the street ministry that we do. George, I've got to know, he's been coming to our church for almost a year now with his wife Miley and Elijah. And George spent 10 years in the same organization I was part of, we called Youth with a Mission, all over Africa, Cameroon. He's been in America for about 11 years now. He graduated from Fuller Seminary not too long ago and has been living in this area for a little while and coming here, and this has become home. And so we are privileged to be able to share his heart and to be able to, as he's been living this out, this has been part of his life time. He worked for a long-term homeless housing organization, and he's a manager of providing permanent long-term housing for people that are on the streets. And so this is just what he lives and breathes, is serving the community, and his life has been spent as a faith journey of seeing God move. And so what more beautiful passage as we head into Acts chapter 3, as the early church begins to step out in pursuing faith, than for George to join us. So George, would you come up? I'd love to pray for you as you get ready. Amen. All right. Father, we thank you that, Lord, that you want to empower us as your body to continue your ministry here on earth. And Lord, I thank you for George today to bring this message to us and speak from his own life and through your word, Father, of what you've been doing and how you want to continue to move in and through this body. Lord, may you continue to inspire us, encourage us, exhort us to step out beyond our comfort zones, to step out beyond what is normal and to pursue a step into a greater life of faith of pursuing you, Lord God. Thank you for George, Lord. Anoint him, give him your grace and mercy, Lord, and give us open hearts to receive. In your name we pray.
Amen. Good morning, Northview. How are you doing this morning? Man, looks like you guys are still sleeping. Good morning, Northview. If it was in a typical African church, I would say, God is good, and you guys respond? God is good, and all the time, and now we're talking, and we are awake, come on now. Well, thank you very much, James, for that beautiful introduction. Yes, my name is George, and I've been coming here over maybe for the last 11 months, and myself and my family, Miley, Nicholas, and Elijah, they are not here today. Miley has some friends over from Brazil. She's originally from Brazil. So she has some friends visiting her. So they are, first they were in Vancouver, now they are all over Seattle looking at things and the beautiful Seattle. But I hope, she promised that she'll be watching online. Hope she's doing that. But yeah, when I am not busy doing homeless ministries and also working with the nonprofit downtown, I spend a lot of time with Elijah and Nicholas. You know, both are keeping me very busy. As you all know, Nicholas is about, by December, will be 17 years old. Elijah is turning 6 next month. He's already asking, when is my birthday? But yeah, if you are new in our community, thank you for coming. We really appreciate you. And we would love to get to know you if you're new here. I remember when I first came here last summer when Edwin came from South Africa, and I was greatly welcomed. People wanted to know about me. People wanted to love me. And that was what brought me back. So Northview, you guys are a welcoming community. So if you are new, please stick around. Don't go without saying hello to anyone here, please. Before we jump straight into scripture, a little bit about myself. James has spoken a lot about that. I was born and raised in Cameroon, quite a different environment than America, you know. I saw a lot of poverty around me, lots of poverty around me. And by the age of 17, I went to South. That was the time, not 17, I was around maybe 18 or 19 years, when someone told me about YWAM. And at that time, I was very restless. I was in a position where I've just finished high school. The path to go to college at that time was not really clear for me. So what happened was I got a job at the local lighting company, and I worked there for about 3 years. Then someone told me about YWAM, and I was so excited about it, and I went. Long story short, I went over to South Africa, where I spent about 4.5 years to 5 years. Then I moved over to the Netherlands in Amsterdam, where I also served there for about 5 years. Why in the Netherlands? My relationship with my then girlfriend, fiancé, who is now my wife, began to grow a little bit. We've known each other in South Africa when she came for what is known as King's Kids. So I've known her by passing in South Africa. We exchanged number, but through social media, we reconnected. And then in Amsterdam, things got a little serious, and she came over to Amsterdam. And at that point, I was about to enroll in Amsterdam Bible College. But she like, if you love me, you're going to abandon everything in the Netherlands and follow me to America. I was like, no, no. But you guys know how the story ended, right? I'm right here. And thank God for that. I came here. God spoke to me. I went to Northwest University in the East Side in Kirkland, where I studied pastoral ministry and counseling. And then after that, God said that was not enough. So I went to Fuller Seminary, where I graduated with a master's in theology. That is not important. I almost lost my faith during that whole 4 years period. But thank God that he put me back in the right path. Amen? Amen. So the last couple of weeks, Pastor James have done an incredible job laying down the foundation of the first two chapters of Acts of the Apostles. So I encourage you, if today is your first day here or you haven't had the opportunity to listen to those, please go back and do that. It's so rich because it will help you understand where we are going with the rest of this chapter, especially chapter 3. You know, in Acts chapter 1, the apostles were encouraged or were instructed by Jesus to wait in Jerusalem. They were asked to wait. You know, it's always hard when you're given instructions to stay put. They were asked to wait in Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 2, we saw the pouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came, and the result of that outpouring was healing, was repentance, and was salvation. We saw Peter stood up. Peter gave a great sermon how these people you're seeing here, they are not drunk, but they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was an incredible result. And today in Acts chapter 3, we'll be looking at the demonstration of power through faith in Jesus. The demonstration of power through faith in Jesus. I was thinking to myself as I was there, like, is that a setup, James? Why did you want me to do this passage? But I think it's an opportunity for us as God's people not only to exhibit the word of God, but also to take it into practice. You know, the chapter 3 is a very practical chapter, even though we saw at the end of the chapter where Peter is preaching, the same how he did in Acts chapter 2, but also he gave a great sermon. So I'm calling upon everyone this morning, please, it might get a little bit uncomfortable, but I know God is calling us to step out of our comfort zone so that he can challenge us a little bit. Amen? Amen. So please, if you get a little bit too uncomfortable, just let me know after church, okay? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your gift of the Spirit this morning. Thank you for an incredible, incredible community we have here at Northview. Father, you are enough. You are Jireh. You are God, our provider. Thank you for everything you're doing in our midst. Thank you for the love that you have shown us. Thank you for the healing power that already exists in this community. And Lord, we pray that may you reveal yourself to us like never before. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Part of the struggle of wrestling with Scripture is when you're about to minister about a particular passage, is you spend time in prayer and you spend time reading and opening different Bible commentaries to really get the heart of God, but also in prayer. You know, commentaries don't really lead us to what God wants us to share, but I do believe that spending time with the Word of God and the passage itself helps us to bring God's Word to us. So as I was doing that this last couple of weeks, there's one thing that keep coming, and is the theme of faith. I know chapter 3 of Acts, if you look at it really, Peter and John head into the temple to pray, and they met someone who is lame, a lame beggar from birth, and you're looking at it like, how is faith connected to this scripture? How is faith connected to this scripture? I know mostly when you hear about the topic of faith, mostly we rush to Hebrews 11, where you have the historical context of faith in the Bible. But I want you to bear with me, have an open heart, because there's a lot to learn about faith in this passage. But before we go to that, are you living by faith? Have you ever demonstrated your faith? Have you seen someone who has demonstrated their faith in such a way that you admire that? Those are questions that has no real answer this morning, but be thinking about those questions as we go along. But today we're looking at faith from the context of Acts chapter 3, and I hope that God will help us define faith through Hebrews 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. The confidence in what we hope for. We hope for so much more. And the assurance of what we do not see. It is really hard, I'll tell you, to hope and have confidence for something you don't see. I don't know about you guys, but I've had times where I doubt a lot. There are times where I question my own faith. There are times where I ask God questions about, are you really there, God? In circumstances where I expect God to move, but God doesn't move, and I find myself questioning the integrity of God. God has an integrity. I keep myself in that pool of doubt, but there's one thing that stays true. In the midst of my circumstances, God remains God. He is true and eternal, no matter what I am going through. Amen? What kind of faith are we talking about in this context? What kind of faith are we talking about? If you look at Acts chapter 3, verse 1, right up to verse 10, what kind of faith are we talking about? The faith we're talking about in this context, it is not the faith where you put your faith when you first come to Jesus. When you first come to Jesus or you first become a believer, you put your faith in Jesus. You became a born-again Christian. But the faith in this context, according to this passage, is the ability to trust God to command the things that are not into existing to exist. Faith in action. The ability to command the things that are not into existing to exist. Now, that can be really tricky. And I want to acknowledge that there's a tension here when we talk about passages like this one. The ability to command the things that are not yet into existing to exist. Why did Luke put this passage in the Bible? I think for our own edification, because we are going to be encouraged by this passage. That's why I keep calling for an open heart, that we should open our hearts, that God should reveal. I believe there's something here for each and every one of us that God is speaking to us. Faith is like acting like God is telling the truth. Right? It's like acting like God is telling the truth, which he is, because he is true, always. But what does that mean? If you want a concrete manifestation about God, then what you believe about him must be married with what you do, so that what you do believe, that God will now become concrete as in your life, as in theory. So we have a lot of theory about God, but the practical manifestation, that is what divides us. Because we do believe something, but we don't take practical action for that to manifest in our lives. So, in the layman definition, if you don't want to go to Hebrews 11, faith is like acting like God is telling the truth in every situation, even if that situation is not yet the fulfillment of the promises that God has promised for you. And that tension is still there. You know, a lot of us this past week, myself included, I was I was under the weather. I don't like to say I was sick, but I was sick. When you are home for 4 days and you miss work, you were sick. I hate to say that because I like practical Christianity. 4 days, I'm there, and I'm looking at myself. And then on Friday, because James and I, we've been texting back and forth, talking about this passage. You know, he's a great mentor. And so he's asking me, do you need anything? So I will reply back, okay. And then by Monday, I'm supposed to submit a script of what I'll be talking about. And I don't have that yet. And I'm under the weather. My nose is runny. I have sinuses. I have headache and all these other things. And I'm there talking to myself by Friday morning. I'm like, this is not real. This is not real. And I'm like, well, but you pray for people and you see things happen. Sometimes I pray for people. People get healed. Sometimes nothing happens. And I'm there to myself like, okay, you can't do that. But you know the hardest thing as Christian is to pray for ourselves. I don't know why is that. We can do so much more for other people, but when it comes to praying for ourselves, it seems like it is so hard of a job to do. And believe me or not, for 4 days, I did not say a single prayer for myself. By Friday morning, I got up, I put my hand on my tummy, one on my head, and I'm just walking in the kitchen. I said, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I command you this sickness to leave my body right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So my son Elijah came and saw me talking by myself. He's like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm praying for myself. It's like, praying for yourself? Like, yeah. It's like, he calls me Papai. That is dad in Portuguese. And it's like, Papai, I heard you talking alone. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, Papai is not feeling well and needs to pray. It's like, he says, go to the doctor. He says, go to the doctor. And I was like, no, no. But instantly, the moment I prayed for myself, I began to take action. I did not stay in anymore. I walked outside. I took Elijah. We went around the lake. Because the whole of last week they didn't have school within the Makotillo School District. We walk around the lake. We came back. I did some other stuff around the house. I went to see a friend. And so I started taking action after praying for myself. Not that I instantly felt better, but the step, the practical step of my faith in action made me feel well. The practical step of my faith in action made me feel well. And gradually I got better. I got better, and then I got on top of the passage, which we're talking about today, and I started. By the time I fell sick, I had only introduction. And I'm talking to myself, oh no, I don't want to see a text from Pastor James like, hey buddy, how's it going? I was like, I got to get this thing going, please. I got to get this thing going, you know. But faith is like acting like it is so, even when it is not so, but because God is saying is so. I will repeat that. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it is not so, but because God is saying it is so. God already said, I am healed. It says, by my stripe, you are healed. It's not a moment of doubting. It's not a moment of questioning that. I'm acting it because God says it is so. Even when it is not so. Now the tension, again, that exists. So many of you have prayed for healing. So many of you have prayed for loved one for healing. You are acting as if it is so, even though it is not yet so. But don't give up, because God is still active. God is still working, regardless of your situation, regardless of what you're going through. God is still manifesting his presence in that circumstances. Amen? So we ought to walk by faith, acting like it is so, even when it is not so. God is real. Do we still believe that this morning? God is real. God has power. God has power. He has power to change any circumstances. He has power to move mountains. He has power to bring back the lost son that has drifted away from the gospel. He has power to bring back a husband that is drifting away from a marriage of 20 plus years. He has power to change the circumstances at work that you are having stressful situation with. He has power to change that financial circumstances that you've been praying for. God has power to do all of that. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? I'll tell you a little story. Sometimes I feel like we don't. Because we have everything we need and we are surrounded with all our need. Sometimes it is even hard to put our faith in God in those areas. When I was a missionary in South Africa, we fully depended on support from friends and families. And each month was like waiting. I'm living on a very thin line, waiting and begging for God to show up in some way so that someone might support me. I came from Cameroon, of course. The church in Cameroon at that time, I grew up as a Catholic. The church in Cameroon, they know nothing about mission. So this is what mission to Cameroonians or to most Africans is. When you are in mission, you are rich. So I am in South Africa. My family is asking me for money because of the coded mindset of how the missionaries brought missions to Africa. When the missionaries came to Cameroon, they brought a lot of gifts, a lot of stuff, candies and all those things, which portray a mindset of a missionary being someone who is wealthy. So I fully trusted God when I was in mission. I traveled to almost 60 different countries. I don't know how those fares and tickets were paid. Did that always happen? No. There was a time where I wanted to go to Brazil. I was leading a team to Brazil. And I prayed. I was a team leader. 1 week before we left, the money never came. 2 days, the money never came. Now by then, I've seen God works in miraculous ways. The day that we are leaving, the money came in trips like I'm going to Egypt, trips to Singapore. The day of the going to Brazil, the money never came. I was disappointed. I could not go. I could not go. I even took action by packing my bag and going right to the airport, trusting that God would do something miraculous. But that did not happen. But yet, I didn't know what God was preparing for me. I did not go to Brazil for one time, but God gave me the nation of Brazil. Amen? I got to marry to a Brazilian. You see how God works? Sometimes your disappointment today can be a real blessing in the future. And I'm asking God, like, God, you are full of humor. That's crazy. It's like, I didn't go to Brazil. But yet, how come I got married to a Brazilian? Now I have a whole nation of Brazil in my house. So your disappointment today might be a real blessing that God is preparing for something bigger than you understand. The fact that it doesn't happen today, it doesn't mean that it will not happen. Amen? In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they're heading up to the temple to pray. It's unusual. The lame beggar, we read that he's brought there every morning by his friends so he could beg on alms. He's solely dependent on alms from people. He's solely dependent. His livelihood was dependent on what he get from people that are entering into the temple. Yet he did not give up. The Bible tells us he was disabled from birth. A real challenge that puts a lot of burden on you because you can't work. You can't have a job. There's just so many limitations that you have. And so the only way he was able to leave was to go and beg for alms. And it looks like it was working well for him because they brought him there almost every day. Almost every day. But on this fateful day when God says, your time is now, no one can change that. The Bible says in his times he makes all things beautiful. In his time, He makes all things beautiful. The lame beggar did not expect to get healing from Peter and John. He was reaching out to get some alms. But what he got more than what he was expecting. He got more than what he was expecting. Peter and John, they reach out to him. They said, "Silver and gold, we don't have. Silver and gold, we don't have. But what we have, we will give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk." Now, this is what is always missed when people read this passage. Peter stretched out his hand and helped him up. Very key in understanding this passage. Not only did Peter say, "Silver and gold we do not have, but what we have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." Faith in action. Peter reached out and helped him up. And the Bible says, immediately his legs were strengthened and he began to jump across the temple and walk into the temple and praising God and shouting, "Hallelujah, glory be to God." And everyone around were amazed by the miraculous power. Silver and gold we do not have, but what we have in the name of Jesus, we will give it to you. And they did. What do you have this morning? What do you have this morning? We all have more than enough. We have more than enough. We have more than enough than what God has given us. But it is left unto us how we want to manifest that power that is in us. I am pretty amazed if I was the lame beggar, because, I mean, I came for alms. I got more than alms. I got my freedom. I got hope. I got salvation. I got everything in one instance. Everything in one instance. Are we still doing all right? It's challenging. It is challenging. I know a lot of us would like to experience what the lame beggar did experience by the miraculous healing through Peter and John. But we are all experiencing that in different ways of our lives today. In different ways of our lives today. You might not get the miraculous healing like the lame beggar, but God is doing different things in different areas of your life. Amen? God is moving in different pieces of your life. And the fact that sometimes we are so clouded with busyness, so we can't even see those small things that God is doing. And then we keep saying, when someone asks you, "How are you doing?" Okay. But we fail to praise God for the little things that He is doing in our lives. What are some of the lessons that we can learn from this passage? Faith in action. Clearly, we can see that God is working in the life of ordinary people. Peter, John, they were fishers of men, ordinary people. God used ordinary people to manifest his power. We are not exempted. God is using us. God can still use us. And God is willing to use us if we are ready to be used by God. Amen? Very important. Peter and John became a vessel that God used to bring healing and salvation to this lame beggar. They were vessels that God used. They were channels that God used to impact them. If there's only one thing you are leaving with today, I want you to know that you are a vessel that God can use to bring hope, delivering, and healing to many people who are hurting out there today. Do you believe that? Let's move from believing from year and taking it from year, and then from our heart, it goes out into the world where we can impact people with. We are a vessel that God can use at any time. Secondly, there are elements of empathy in this passage. I do believe that if we come to church on Sunday and we see someone begging for alms every single Sunday at our entrance, we all will have empathy. So Peter and John, they did the same for the lame beggar. They had empathy. They offered him healing, restoration, hope, and above all, salvation. 3 months ago, we sent out a team over to San Francisco. It came back with great testimony. A lot of people were blessed. Youth were so touched by the work that is out there. There's more to the world than just the four corners of the church. We acted in empathy. They went and showed love and compassion to the homeless and the marginalized. And then a couple of weeks ago, we went out to the street here in Everett. We also went to show empathy, compassion, and love to our neighbors and the homeless people around you. And if you have not yet signed up, it's coming up April 26th. If you were not among the group that went last time, we had fun. So we're inviting all of you. If it's your first time, take a step of faith, and God will bless you. Lastly, this story challenges us to re-examine our lives. To re-examine our lives. First, we all would like to experience healing, like the lame beggar. But like I emphasize, the fact that your healing is not now, it doesn't mean that God is not at work. You should not lose hope. You should not lose hope. I imagine for how many years, the Bible does not clearly state how old the lame beggar was. But he was born lame. So if he was an adult, I don't know for how long he has been patiently waiting for God to manifest his power over his life. And the day that he was not expecting it, that was the day that it happened. The day that you least expect your miracle, your deliverance, that is when God is showing up. Do not give up. Do not give up. God is still in the healing business. He is. And for all of us who are trusting God in different areas of our lives this morning, my prayer is you take this as an encouragement. as an encouragement. It is challenging, and it can be. If you feel like why the apostles were experiencing this kind of manifestation of power, and we don't see that kind of power here today, it's an encouragement that God is still working in little pieces. Do not be discouraged. Do not be heartbroken, for your time is coming. Faith in action. I would like to conclude by telling this little story. When Elijah was about 2 years old, I would take him to the park. And he would go up the slide and go up the staff. And I would say, jump. He would go, mm-mm. Like, put my hands like this, jump. He would go, mm-mm. We go home. If we go, when we ever show up again at the park, he goes up the very same slide, up. I like, jump. He goes, mm-mm. I'm like, okay. So when he was about 4 years old, 5 years old, we go to that same park. And even before I say jump, he was flying up my hands, and I'll catch him because he knows and trusted that I am not going to let him fall. We have built an integrity between the two of us. He knew I had integrity. I will not let him down. For about 2 years. So the same thing with God. God has integrity. He has made promises. Some promises he has made in my life, they have not come to pass. But I still believe in his promises. The same thing when you go to a doctor and the doctor writes a prescription. You trust in the integrity of the doctor because you know that he has spent so many years to school and he cannot write the wrong prescription, which some do sometimes. But you take the prescription with faith and in action. You go to the pharmacy and you get the meds, trusting that what the doctor says will help you recover, will help you get healed again. Why is it hard for us to trust the creator of the universe, the God of Isaac, Abraham? Why is it so hard? The God that spoke the world into being, why is it so hard to trust him? If we can trust our doctor for prescription that can make us well, why not have faith in action that he who has spoken this thing is my life will make them come to pass? The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 26, faith without action is dead. Faith without action is dead. So my goal is, as we leave this place today, we are already exemplifying the action of our faith in our different spheres of influence, in our lives, in our homes, in our schools, in our workplace. Let's take it one more step. Let's take it one more step. Ask God for boldness. Ask God for revelation. It was not by chance that Jesus asked the apostles to wait in Jerusalem. When the Spirit comes, it will empower you. It will make you bold. So if you are here today, and this is something that God has been speaking to you, and you look at the scripture and you say, I want to be like Peter and John. You have all what it takes. Jireh, God our provider. God is enough. I believe God will use each and every one of us, the ones that are watching online and the ones that are here this morning, to bring healing and restoration in this area, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our workplace, and in this area of Mill Creek. I would like to call the worship team up, and we're going to take one practical step. And if that is uncomfortable for you to do, please don't do it. We'll be praying for one another. Please ask the people that are next to you if they are comfortable, you praying for them. But if you are not comfortable doing that, please just pray for yourself. And our goal is that God will begin to speak to us as we move towards our faith in action. God bless you. Would you stand with us and let's pray.
Father, we thank you that you are our foundation. Upon you we rest. Everything we have is because of you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you don't just leave us where we're at, but you draw us out, Lord. And you know, as we've gone through this book, Lord, you're continuing to nudge us with gentleness and nudging us out of comfort zones and nudging us from those places of safety into your arms and into steps of faith, Lord. And I just pray for us as a body, Lord. God, may you draw us out. Call us out from the boat into the water of the unknown and where it looks so stormy and scary, Lord. May you draw us out into those places where it takes faith, Lord. Into those places where we have to trust you because we can't do it on our own. And so this week, Lord, I pray, may you draw us and challenge us to pray for areas of physical healing for those around us and to step out knowing that we aren't responsible, but it's you to trust you for those things. May you press us and draw us out to pray for coworkers, to pray for family, to pursue people, to begin conversations with people that maybe we've held back on because we feel foolish or feel something that is just not right, Lord. May you continue to draw us out from the safety places, Lord Jesus, into the unknown, as we are led by you, Father. Draw us out, Lord Jesus. Give us boldness to step out from those places. Give us faith, Lord. We think we don't have to muster faith on our own. You are the one who gives it. And so, Lord, give us faith to step out. May we continue to be a body that increasingly is pointed outward towards those around us who are wrestling with their faith, or who don't have any to begin with, or against you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd restore hope where it has been given up, Lord Jesus. Specifically those who have been praying for healing for years, or those who have been praying for loved ones or children who have walked away for years, God. May you restore hope to continue, Lord, to pray, where all hope has been lost. Stretch us, draw us out from our places of comfort to hope in you, to believe in you, to take action with our faith, God. Thank you that you don't just leave us where we're at, but you draw us nearer to you into a place of life and faith instead of fear and hope. In your name we pray. Amen.